Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, of course, we always do Theology Thursday every week with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And today, this is just one of the coolest things I've ever seen happen here at the seminary. And I've been around Southeastern for about 10 years now. But this is one of the coolest stories you're going to learn about today. And the notion of turning a prisoner into a pastor, and specifically prisoners that are going to stay in the prison system for a long time. And to do that in conjunction with the prison system, which would involve the state as well, is pretty miraculous. And that's something that, although we might want to pull that off on our own, in our own power as human beings and in politics and all the other stuff, that would be kind of pointless. And I don't think we could actually do it. God has to be in it. And he certainly is in the case of what's been going on with Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and the prison system here in North Carolina. It's an amazing story, so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But in terms of interesting things, what about apologetics and Christian teaching and going into a military environment, a military families especially, but a military environment, the divorce rate amongst military families is very similar to the divorce rate amongst first responders, police, fire, EMS, EMT. And it's north of 70%. There's all kinds of trouble in the military lifestyle for obvious reasons, very hard on families. And so to be able to go to a place like Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is one of the biggest groupings of military men and women in America right here in North Carolina, it's just an awesome thing. Alex McFarland, of course, is probably a name you've recognized, and Josh McDowell, maybe Mark Middleberg. And they are doing an event this weekend down there at Fayetteville for military families. It's a free weekend event for them. It's from Truth for the New Generation. Alex McFarland's been an apologist and an author and a speaker and a radio host for years. And so we're excited to find out about this and just let people know in North Carolina what's going on. Just an awesome opportunity. So we've got Dustin Whittington calling in, who's with Alex McFarland's organization. And we appreciate you calling in, Dustin. How are you, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm doing well. I thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your show and really just appreciate the opportunity to kind of share a little bit about what we're doing.
Well, you're very welcome. I've known Alex for a while, so let us know what's going on.
He is an awesome guy. He is an awesome guy, and he really, I mean, we're so eager to have him. You know, I love what you just said in regards to the rate of divorce amongst military men and women and just what that means here in the Fort Bragg community. Really, when we say Fayetteville, North Carolina, is exactly what we're speaking to, is that Fort Bragg community. And, you know, the reality is they say it all the time that if you take a flight somewhere, you're going to go through Atlanta. And if you join the military, you're at one point going to go through Fort Bragg. And it is home to one of the largest military bases. And these are home to some of the bravest men and women in the world. Consistently, without a thought, going to defend the freedom of this country for you and I. And what Alex and the rest of his team are doing this weekend is they're kind of giving something in reverse. They're taking these people to some of the bravest men and women in the world who, without a second thought, go to the front line, go to the battleground. They're going to these men and women this weekend, and they're giving them the tools and the resources necessary to defend the faith, to defend the most important message ever, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we talk about apologetics, the ability to defend the faith, that's exactly what Alex and Josh McDowell and Mark Middleberg are bringing to the table this weekend, and we're so excited to host them. But we're really excited about what this means for the Christian community in and around the Fort Bragg area.
Yeah, because the needs are tremendous, and we can talk about divorce, and we should, but the needs of a military family and individuals in the military, it's such a difficult environment. It's a very difficult schedule. It tears and pulls in different directions. And you know, I've known several people whose sons and daughters have gone into the military, raised in the church, and really struggle when they're in there. Yeah. So tell us, what's going to actually take place this weekend, and how can people find out about it?
Yeah, so really quick, just off the cuff, you can go to the TNG. Network.com, which is Alex's website, or really, really easy to remember, is just www.rockfishchurch.com. You can Google that, or you can just go straight to the website, rockfishchurch.com, and you'll have all the information you need. But I'll tell you a little bit how the weekend's going to play out. On Friday night, tomorrow night, is going to be the kickoff. It starts at at 7 o'clock. The series is starting at 7 o'clock. We're encouraging everyone to get there and make plans to be there around 6:30. And then Saturday morning, that'll go on for tomorrow night. And then Saturday morning, Josh McDowell and Alex McFarland are going to do two quick sessions, but they're going to offer an opportunity for Q&A. So if you ever wanted to ask some of these guys some really, you know, questions in regards to apologetics or that kind of thing, you've got two experts who are giving their time to answer questions, any questions that you may have. And so that'll be Saturday morning from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30. And then Saturday evening will be the same time as Friday evening. We're encouraging people to show up around 6:30 with the service starting at 7. And then Sunday we have three services. We have a 9 a.m., a 10:30 a.m., and a 1 o'clock p.m. And then after that, that'll be the end of the weekend.
Yeah, what an awesome opportunity to tap into some of the greatest apologetic minds that we have to offer, and especially right there in that setting at Fort Bragg and in Fayetteville. Rockfishchurch.com is that website. I just looked it up, and we shared it on Facebook, rockfishchurch.com.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being a part of setting this up, Dustin,
man.
And for working those guys. That's an audience that we need to be reaching more often than we do.
You're right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. God bless you, man. We'll talk to you later.
God bless. Bye-bye.
So that's pretty awesome. And then, you know, we look at the military environment and then we look at the prison system. And oftentimes we go, well, yeah, you know, we'll get to them when they come out. But what if you could actually go into the prison system and take the seminary level training to inmates and especially inmates that are going to be there for a while? Seth Bible is here with me. He's at Southeastern Baptist regularly, but he's also the director of the prison system, the prison programs, as well as an assistant professor of ethics and the history of ideas. Seth, welcome to the show. Pull the mic out to you. I got to get all the way out there. You can get it right up to you so you're comfortable.
All right.
But it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show today.
So we're going to dive into this for the rest of the hour, but we're going to run out of time in about a minute. So just get us kicking on how this whole concept came up in the first place.
Okay, so I'm not sure I can get it in a minute. I'll do my best.
We'll take more time on the other side of the break.
All right.
Just get it started.
So just give you a quick overview of the way this program got started. About 10 years ago, Dr. Aiken, the president here at Southeastern, began to pray that Southeastern would have an opportunity to do a moral rehabilitation program like the state of Texas and Louisiana with our sister seminaries at New Orleans and Southwestern, and began to pray just that the Lord would open that door of opportunity here in North Carolina, and consistently brought it up to the cabinet, consistently brought it before our Board of Visitors and Trustees, and was hoping for an opportunity to do that sooner rather than later.
And little did he know that there was another dude praying about this who was encountering what was going on in these other states. And the other guy that was praying about it and the other guy that got involved with this story, you'll definitely know his name when we come back and share with you. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern here with Seth Bible. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, which, by the way, today, May 2nd, also happens to be the National Day of Prayer. Pray for America, love one another. So make sure you take some time to do that. And I appreciate the National Day of Prayer. I've known those folks for years. And oftentimes have an opportunity to participate and would have done that in downtown Raleigh, which is the capital of North Carolina, many times in the past. But I teach on Thursdays. National Day of Prayer is awesome. I look at it kind of like Easter, where we focus in on something that we should focus in on. But that shouldn't be the only day of the year that we're like this. We all need to be living a life of prayer for our, not only our nation, but for our leaders. And really, that doesn't, it's not based on who you vote for, what party you belong to. That's simply based on the Word of God. He made it perfectly clear. And, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we're to pray for those in authority over us, and we need to do that. And this is a good opportunity to kind of remember that. So please, before you go to bed tonight, and especially if you have any of your kids are at home with your spouse, take the time to lift up our nation. I know we care about America. We spend a lot of time talking about the state of the nation. I don't think we spend nearly as much time praying for it. So let's make sure we kind of lean into that. But that is today, May 2nd, National Day of Prayer. Here in the studio talking to Seth Bible, assistant professor of ethics and the history of ideas here at Southeastern, but mainly he is spending his time these days as the director of prison programs, which we're kind of unfolding the genesis of that. And starting about 10 years ago, actually, Dr. Aiken was just on the show last week. He's on once a month on Theology Thursday. And then 10 years ago or so, Dr. Aiken was praying through and wondering how in the world could we possibly invest in the prison population and kind of take this educational model that they've been blessed with at Southeastern into the prison system. And you were mentioning that, Seth. And on the other side of the line somewhere, there was another dude praying about this, who I said most people are going to know his name. So let's kind of move this story forward and talk about how it actually landed.
Sure thing. So the really neat part about this story, the genesis of this program, there's three different partners of this program: the state of North Carolina, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and the third is Game Plan for Life out of Charlotte, North Carolina, which was the nonprofit that was started by none other than Coach Joe Gibbs.
Amazing.
Of Washington Redskins fame.
That's so cool, yeah.
And Joe Gibbs Racing
NASCAR
fame.
NASCAR fame, yeah.
That's right. Having a great year this year. Go Kyle Busch.
For those of you that don't live south of the Mason-Dixon line, just look it up.
That's right. So several years ago, Joe Gibbs began a nonprofit, like I said, called Game Plan for Life. And the purpose of Game Plan for Life was it was intended to be a men's ministry where Coach Gibbs would parlay his success in sports into an opportunity to speak into men's lives all over America. And on one of the visits that he had, I've heard the story multiple times, so forgive me, but I believe it was in the state of Florida. He had an opportunity just as a last minute to go into a prison and speak as he was speaking at one of these men's events. And when he did so, by his own admission, it kind of changed him. He noticed something there, a need for men to be invested in. And so he coming out of that particular event, he said to his staff, I want us to find out what we can do in North Carolina to make a difference in the prisons. And so they began to do some research, and they found out about, as I mentioned earlier, the sister programs in both Louisiana and Texas.
And Angola is one of the most famous ones, right?
That's right. Angola is the one that started roughly 21 years ago. It was kind of the beginning of the moral rehabilitation programs that now are in about 15 states across the country. And so actually Coach Gibbs said, I've heard about this deal in Louisiana called Angola. I'm going to send a couple of you there, figure out what it is, tell me, you know, come back, give me a report. So they did that. When they came back, they were like, it's amazing. It's changing the culture of Angola from the inside out. They're using long-term inmates, guys that will never leave, that otherwise have very little opportunity to contribute in any meaningful way to anything. And Coach Gibbs just looked at him and he said, look, that sounds like something we want to be a part of. Figure out how to make it happen in North Carolina, which is kind of his MO. That's kind of the way that he operates
sure, yeah.
with a lot of things. So so they began to look for educational partners. And this was years ago. This was 5-6 years ago. They began to really dig down and look at who are some people, who are some universities across the state that have a program that we could partner with that would actually train men to make a difference from the inside out of the prison system. And they approached a couple schools that either didn't have the means to do it or didn't have the structure in place or whatever. But it actually ended up in a meeting in March of 2016 in Dr. Aiken's office here on the campus, in which they presented to him the possibility of funding a program that our school they had done the research. They knew that we had programs on the undergraduate level that would fit the bill of what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we've been looking for an educational partner. Would you be interested?
Funny you should ask.
And Dr. Aiken's response, of course, was, well, funny you should ask. I've been praying about this for going on 5-6
That's
years now.
Awesome.
And all
so
we've
cool.
really needed is somebody to fund it. And strangely enough, at the table that day were representatives from the Department of Public Safety, North Carolina DPS. And they also had been looking at the programs in Louisiana and Texas and other states, Florida, Georgia, to name a few, and saying, you know, if we had the right educational partner and we have a private funder, then we could really do something neat here in North Carolina. So all of that kind of came together in March of 2016 in pretty God-ordained way.
Yeah, that's really remarkable. And so let's tackle kind of the elephant in the room, because most people are hearing, okay, Joe Gibbs Racing, Joe Gibbs NFL, Joe Gibbs is a believer. Okay, cool. Makes sense. Southeastern Baptist obviously makes sense. State of North Carolina, separation of church and state, all that kind of stuff. So how did God deal with that? Because obviously he did.
Yeah, so that's a great question. That's one that we get all the time. And the reality of it is that our program fits into the larger conversation of higher education and prison programs across the country. So in 1994, there was the sweeping crime legislation that came across, the three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
On the back end of that, though, was the disallowance of Pell Grants to fund education inside the prisons up until that point.
Yeah, because we started to swell the prison population.
That's right.
With the three strikes, you're out.
But the bad part of that is as those prisons swelled, as they became swollen, the education programs that had been there before that study after study after study said resulted in reduced recidivism actually were defunded.
Yeah.
And so that's actually the interesting story about Angola. Angola stood, it kind of took a step into a vacuum in the state of Louisiana that was left after that legislation and said, you know what, we'll be happy to do that. We'll be happy to educate people. We have an undergraduate degree program here, and we'd be happy to do it. So in the state of North Carolina, they saw that same thing. They saw the impact that a moral rehabilitation program could have on the culture of the prison system. And they were looking specifically for an educational partner that had a degree that actually had a practical counseling, psychology, pastoral component to it.
Ding, 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 ding.
The way that we get around it, though, is that this particular program is open to anybody of any faith.
Right.
So we have seven different faith traditions that are represented in our program. The phrase that we use, and I think it's a good one, is that we are both confessional and unapologetic. We are both confessional in the sense that we do not apologize for the fact that the program is rooted in a Judeo-Christian worldview, but we are wholly inclusive in the sense that anyone who wants to participate in the program
can.
Is welcome to do so, as long as they qualify the way that the state says they have to qualify.
Yeah, and so when we come back, we're talking to Seth Bible, the director of prison programs here at Southeastern Baptist. When we come back, we'll talk about what this looks like on the ground, what's happening in the prison, who are these men that are in the classes, what are they learning, and how's it impacting the prison population. It is an area, Jesus said it himself, you don't visit me in prison. You don't visit them, you're not visiting me. Well, it's better than just visiting them. Let's train them. Let's encourage them. Let's get them educated so they can make a difference. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which, by the way, is the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries on the face of the planet. And you can, whether you're Southern Baptist or not, really doesn't matter. There's all kinds of things that you can access here online. So there's a lot of you listening because I've been on the radio in North Carolina for 12 years. So I have a lot of friends here in North Carolina, but we're in 12 other states. So you don't even need to be able to find North Carolina on a map. All you need to do is go online. And there's a lot of things that you can take, a lot of classes and certificate programs. There's a lot of content you can access without paying a dime. You can get on the other side of that wall and pay money to work on a certificate program, even towards a degree. But all you need to do is go to the website. We have a specific page with all that information. Okay. It's SEBTS.edu. That's just Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. SEBTS.edu/radio. And you're going to land right on a page that shows you all those options online. If you love the Lord and you're serious about learning more about him, this is a pool where you can kick as hard as you want, but you'll never get to the bottom of it. And that's facilitated all the time out here at Southeastern. Talking to Seth Bible today, who did his dissertation, his PhD on environmental ethics. So I love that topic. So we're gonna set up a whole nother show. We'll do a whole nother show on environmental ethics and answer the question. I did this, I was telling Seth, when I took a bunch of my ethics courses here at the seminary. And at the end of the semester, we always had to write like an 8 to 12 page paper. I hate writing papers, so I'd always say, hey, why don't I, if I do a 2-day show on it, a part one and a part two, will that qualify? And all my professors here, well, Dave and Dan and Mark were all like, okay, fine. So I did a 2-day show on environmental ethics entitled, Is Jesus a Tree Hugger? So you just kind of bathe in that one for a while. Is Jesus a tree hugger? And actually, when I teach this, Seth, in my ethics class with the high school homeschoolers that I teach every semester, I start the day when we're going to do environmental ethics. I say, okay, let's do word association. So, and don't play Sunday school with me. Say what comes to your mind. I say environmentalist. You say, and it's like liberal, Obama, tree hugger, Birkenstocks, hippie, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, that's exactly why we're going to talk about this today, because your theology when it comes to the environment is all screwed up. And so we're going to spend the day and get that corrected. It's
Absolutely.
Really an awesome topic. So I look forward to doing that.
I look forward to it as well.
But today, talking about another aspect of theology and our mission in the world that we rarely think of, which is how do you go into a prison system and actually train prisoners to be pastors? Specifically, prisoners are going to be there for most of their life or all of their life. Because if you're going to change a prison population, you can try it with all these different kinds of programs, this, that, and the other thing. But we know the one thing that changes the human heart is the gospel. And so that's what's been going on with the prison program since 2016 here with Southeastern in the prison system here in North Carolina. It's an awesome story. Seth's in charge of that, and he's the director of that. So this is just a wonderful story to hear. So functionally, what happens? You got Joe Gibbs Racing is involved. You got Southeastern Baptist. You got the state involved, which is awesome because they want to see change inside the prison system for obvious reasons. It's good for them. But what actually happens? Let's dive into the program.
Yeah, so what actually happens is that each year we take about a 6-month process to identify students or potential students, so offenders who are located across the state of North Carolina in the 50 facilities across the state of North Carolina. We have a certain set of parameters that tell us who are eligible for the program, and that was something that the state and Southeastern came up with together. And what we do is we take that list of eligible students or potential students, and we recruit them just like we do students to our on campus. And the most rigorous, from the state's perspective, the most rigorous process they have for any program that they do in the state of North Carolina, any educational program.
Wow.
Again, it takes us 6 months. We actually, for anyone who's interested in the program and tells us so, we go into their facility across the state, whether it's in the mountains or at the coast. We go to them to see them in person at their prison, and we tell them, here's what the program does, and we'd love to have you involved. And so then we give them an application. They fill that out. Through a process of selection, then eventually 25 to 30 students a year are selected, and then they are transferred to Nash Correctional Institution right outside of Nashville, just north of us. And they're there for 4 years, and they take 127 rigorous, difficult hours.
Just like a regular college
just like a,
load.
It is the exact same degree that we offer here on campus, taught by the exact same professors on site and in person. We received our accreditation, our approval through the accreditors to have an extension center. So we actually have an extension center inside of a prison. And at that extension center, our professors travel there each day. We have class each morning from 8:15 to 11:15, and then they have study hall in the afternoon. And at the end of those 4 years, when they graduate, then we work with the state of North Carolina to have them in teams of ideally three to five graduates who we then send back out to facilities across the state to put what they've learned into practice. So at the back end of this program, the front end of it looks exactly like any undergraduate education that you would receive at any accredited school. The back end of it, though, is loaded with counseling and psychology classes. We're going to do probably anywhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 of those, depending on how the electives shake out in that senior year. But what they will have is they'll be equipped to be able to step into a facility like the juvenile facilities at Polk, where you have young men who have made mistakes that have the potential of defining them for their lives. And we're going to take guys that we have educated in counseling and psychology, rooted in a Judeo-Christian worldview, who are going to come alongside of them and try to show them that they can actually do something different in their life when they get out. And
don't end up like me in terms of
that's
time
right.
here.
That's right.
Turn it around and go out and make an incredible difference.
And you know what so many of the incarcerated need is just a sense that they can be different than what landed them there in the first place.
Yeah.
That's what so many of them need.
Well,
that's hope, right?
That's
hope. And that's what this education provides, is a sense of hope. It's a sense of hope for the guys that are going through the program, for those who will graduate. It's a sense of hope for those for whom those guys are going to have an opportunity to influence. So the things that these graduates are used, or the ways that these graduates are used in other states, they're used in juvenile detention facilities as mentors. They're used in hospice facilities as servants to the elderly and the dying. They're used in Texas, or in Louisiana specifically, on death row. They are used to reach out to and what's called suicide watch. So they're used to help talk guys who are on death row, just talk to them, encourage them, try to help them through those last days of their lives. They're used as mentors in other educational programs.
Well, tutors. You think about any mature, well-educated Christian man, and we want to send them into the prison population, of course. But they're an outsider going to an inside game.
That's right.
And how can you possibly speak in that context unless you're in that context?
Yeah, so a lot of people use the word prison ministry to describe what we do, and I have absolutely no problem with that in terms of a prison ministry per se. But what we're doing is actually prison education, which is a little bit different because prison ministry traditionally works from the outside in.
Sure.
You have people who have a heart to see people's lives changed, and they go in and then they leave at the end of the day. What this is actually doing is it's actually equipping men who will be in prison for long term, and we're actually trying to equip them to make a difference from the outside in.
How do these men react when they find out that they've been targeted? Like all of a sudden, hey, there's these folks that want to come talk to you about this 4-year program. What does that do to these guys?
So I think for the long term inmates, so many of the programs that are out there, both educationally and vocationally, whatever it may be, for the state of North Carolina, and it's of no fault to the state. They have a limited amount of money.
Sure, yeah.
And they're going to invest that money in guys who are going to be getting out and becoming our neighbors. That's for lack of a better term, and I actually hate using this term, but it's the biggest return on the investment.
Yeah, of course, makes sense.
So what tends to happen then is that the long term inmate, not intentionally for the most part, but the long term inmate doesn't have a ton of opportunities. So when we come to them and we say, by the way, not only are you going to have an opportunity to participate in a program, but this is the only 4-year accredited degree offered in the state of North Carolina inside of the prisons, and you are going to have an opportunity to do that. They're excited, yeah.
Because not everybody else does.
That's right,
and it's selective.
They
so
have
you got
to
all
have
that build in right in the front.
That's right. They have to have a minimum of 12 years left on their sentence.
Wow.
Many of these guys are in for life or multiple life sentences. So to have an opportunity to do anything with the time that they've been given is a welcome.
Yeah. Where you think there's no hope and no purpose, and I'm just going to be here for the next 20 years or whatever and die.
It's hard.
All of a sudden, the rest of your life's going to have perhaps more meaning than most people's lives outside of the prison system.
That's right.
Really an amazing turn of an events there. We're talking to Seth Bible, Assistant Professor of Ethics and History of Ideas out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, but specifically talking about his role as the Director of Prison Programs. Again, this goes back about 10 years, Dr. Aiken is the president of the seminary, who most of you know now because he's on the show once a month on Theology Thursday, praying about getting in there. And then Joe Gibbs, of course, of NFL fame and NASCAR, is also looking into it. And then finally, God brings all these things to collide together right here in Southeastern's campus and Dr. Aiken's office. The next thing you know, you've got over 50 inmates in there in this program who are training to be pastors and counselors who are staying inside the prison system. Just in a miraculous story from front to back. We'll hear some stories about what's going on in there and some more details with Seth Bible. This is Steve Noble.
I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist, talking about something. This is just one of the coolest things that I've heard of in a while that the body of Christ is doing. It's really taking theological training, counseling training, Christian counseling training into the prison system. Seth Bible is here, Director of Prison Programs at Southeastern Baptist, and just been unpacking how it got started. Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary, been praying about it for a while. And Joe Gibbs, of course, of NFL fame and now NASCAR fame, was looking into it and heard about it and what was going on down in Louisiana and places like Angola. And then God just brought them all together at one place at one time here in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And the next thing you know, the state's on board and God just swings these doors open. And there's how many students presently, Seth, that are in the system?
We have 51 and we're about to accept our third class. So we'll move up to just around 80
next month. And then how many total hours will they take? Is there like a regular college program, undergrad?
That's right. 127 total hours spread out over 4 years. They'll finish in 8 semesters.
Wow. And they are people that are going to be in there for at least how long?
So they have a minimum of 12 years left on their sentence all the way up to life in prison.
Yeah, because you want to train them and equip them and have them be there to serve.
That's right.
The prison population around the state. Mm-hmm. Which is really so fascinating I didn't even know that they were coming in from different places. I didn't know how selective it is, and it's very selective. And they come in here and they train just like they're going to the seminary, and then we send them out. They go back into the prison system. What are they like as students?
So these guys, it's pretty amazing getting to know them. They're mostly adult learners, so the average age is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 34 years old. And very serious as students. They see this as an opportunity of a lifetime. For many of these guys, before they were incarcerated, would never have imagined a day in which they would have had an opportunity to do a 4-year accredited degree. Not all of them, but many of them. This really is a dream for them, a dream come true. And so to have an opportunity, earlier I spoke about the reality that not many of the programs are available to long-term inmates. So you take that, you couple that with just the opportunity to get a college education to begin with. You take those two things together and it produces a very serious student who understands that there's a lot of people with skin in the game.
Yeah.
Professors that don't have to drive 45 minutes one way to teach them on site, donors that don't have to give their money, they could give them other places, a school that could invest its time and its resources in other ways, a nonprofit organization like Game Plan for Life that could do any other thing they wanted in terms of the way they gave their money or how they invested their time. So I think they just take the opportunity very seriously and they want to do their best. And so we joke, the professors that teach there joke that it's almost like a professor's dream. You show up and 15 minutes in, you realize from time to time, these guys know this material as well as I do.
Yeah.
Or maybe better than I do. And it causes us to want to step up our game and be better professors. And I think that's mutually beneficial, right? And
oh my goodness. Yeah.
It reinvigorates our teaching it scratches that itch for teaching that we all had when we began, first of all. And then it when we up our game, that it improves the learning environment for them as well. So they come away with a better education all around. It's a lot of fun.
Man, it's so cool. I'm looking at an article that was on the Southeastern website. I put a link up for it on our Facebook Live link. So if you want to check that out, just go to our Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show. And, a convocation, kind of starting the year. And there's Danny Aiken and Jamie Dew, and everybody's in their fancy regalia. And there's the red typing behind there and the drapes. And it looks like it's here on campus, but it's in a prison.
Yeah, it's actually in their gymnasium. Yeah, so the most interesting part about that is that whole setup right there was done by the guys in our program. They're the ones that set that up. We brought the staging in, but as far as the pipe and the draping and all of the chairs being set up and all of that stuff, that's our guys putting that together, which is really cool too.
And have the folks that work at the prison, administration, guards, all that, what's their reaction been? Because now they've been seeing this go on for a couple of years now.
Yeah, so I think it's measured. I think many of them are kind of in a wait and see mode.
Yeah.
Like what's going to happen? They see programs come and go. They aren't necessarily personally invested sometimes. So, I think in many ways we're trying to convince them that it's worth their time too. And we're grateful for that because it provides opportunities for us to be able to tell them why we're doing what we're doing. And then for many of the other ones, particularly the ones that are assigned to us as the ones who kind of are our shepherds, if you will, while we're there, they're personally invested at a very high level. They want to see the program succeed. They want to see these students become better versions of themselves. In fact, one of the officers just recently shared with me that there was a young man in the program, a very young man actually, here from here in Raleigh, whom she had known for several years and had watched the way that God had changed his life, bringing him up to the opportunity to be in this program.
Yeah.
But he was a very, very different person even 3 and 4 years ago than he is right now. And she says to see the way that God has used the program to change him has been just miraculous, that he's a totally different person than he was when he started the program. And that's really neat to see.
Oh,
and so going back to your question about the officers, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag. And that's understandable.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're very cynical and understandably so.
Yeah,
as they've been in that system and seeing all the problems there in the prison system for years. I know you walked in here. Did you bring some letters with you? What am I looking at?
I did. I brought one letter, and this is interesting. This was a letter that was actually mailed directly to Dr. Aiken. I was completely unaware. It's not even an inmate, an offender who's in our program. He's an offender at Nash Correctional, who has been kind of just watching the program and those who are in it from the outside. And I just wanted to read one paragraph to kind of give you a brief snapshot of the kind of, the kind of perception or the kind of image that this program is having there at that facility, which I give this to you as an example of what we hope will happen at facilities across the state in years to come. But let me just read this one very short paragraph. This gentleman says, I've already seen the hand of God moving on these men in the program. To God be the glory. The road ahead will be the most challenging road anyone could ever walk down, with exception of the road to the cross. The American prison system is the most savage, immoral continent in the world. The men that you are preparing will go into the darkest recesses of the continent, where they will have to live with the greatest concentration of evil and all its abominations known to mankind. It's a very real possibility that one of these men will be killed for the work that they do. So please don't let your guard down in praying for them in the future.
Wow, how about that?
So I think that's amazing. It's a fantastic snapshot, I think, of what's going on, but also the challenge that's ahead for these men. Also the challenge of that context and the reality of incarceration. In an age of mass incarceration, 1.3, I believe the last statistics that I saw is 1.3 million people incarcerated in the United States. The state of Texas alone, if it were a country in and of itself, would be one of the most incarcerated countries in the world.
Yeah, amazing.
And
so sad.
It is. It's incredibly sad. And so, but at the same time, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for men and women of faith to step into a space that's been open for us in a miraculous way to try to make a difference. And that's what the gospel's about. It's not just about getting to heaven. It's not just about personal salvation, but it's about. It's also about seeing changes made, not just in individuals, but in communities here on earth, right?
Multiply.
Which goes back to my love for the environment as well. Like, it's not just about the future, but it's about the here and now, and that's okay.
That's right. Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, absolutely. How is this? We got a couple minutes left. How has this impacted you personally? Been walking with the Lord for a while, teaching, involved in ministry, but how has it impacted you?
Yeah, so I would say it's a great question. I appreciate you asking that. You know, I've said to several people that this is, and I've done a lot of really neat things in my life. God has been gracious and kind enough to give me an opportunity to work in a lot of spaces that I really enjoy. This is by far the most rewarding thing that I've ever done professionally. I think on a personal level, I've beyond just seeing strengths that I think that I have, being able to put those into practice. It's more than that. It's the direct impact of the gospel on the life of a broken individual, and seeing that firsthand in motion, seeing a letter like this, less than 2 years in, having a hand in seeing someone, observe people's lives being changed in front of them. If that doesn't get us excited as Christians, if that doesn't get me as excited as an individual who just wants to see, who wants to live in a better community, but it's more than that. I want to live in a place where the gospel is changing lives, and being able to see that in what the people that are in it describe as a savage immoral continent. To know that God has opened a door of opportunity to make a difference there, is to be a part of that, has just been amazing. I'm so very grateful. I'm grateful to Dr. Akin for the opportunity for Dr. Dew, Ryan Hutchison, men here that are in leadership at Southeastern, for the opportunity. I'm eternally grateful to God for just allowing me to be a part of something this neat.
I'm
thankful to Joe Gibbs Racing for funding it.
That's for sure. For those of us that are on the outside looking in, what can we do to support? What can we do to be a part of it?
Yeah, great question. Pray, just like this man said, never be on the National Day of Prayer. Never be ever diligent to pray. But also consider giving.
Yeah.
Supporting the program is privately funded, and Joe Gibbs can't do that on his own. And we're constantly looking for partners. We'd love for you to be involved in it.
Yeah, and you can do that through Southeastern. Just email me. I can connect you with the right people. Steve@thestevenobleshow.com. That's easy enough, and I'll get you forwarded over to Seth and the team there. Seth, thank you so much for being here today. What a pleasure. What an honor
to
hear the story and to be able to share it with people. You're very welcome. Okay, friends, this is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. If you're on Facebook Live, we'll pray over the prison program here when we're done. And then... like I said, God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.